Welcome to Getting Over in Wrestling Podcast, where we take a wrestler and give them their WrestleMania moment with your host, Daniel Kane, Brian Katz, and Andrew Gulick.
Welcome to Getting Over in Wrestling Podcast, where each week I challenge my two co-hosts to take a wrestler, discuss their background, accolades, and give that wrestler a WrestleMania moment. They don't know the questions I will ask. There is no script. You are hearing me put them on the spot. Welcome to Getting Over in Wrestling Podcast, episode 19, Adam Cole, baby. I'm your host, Daniel Kane. I'm joined here with my co-host, Brian KZ Katz. How's everything, man?
Much love, everyone. What's up?
We're also joined with our other co-host, Andrew, the Ultimate Mark Gulick.
How you doing?
So each week, in order to get a chance to know us better, I throw a question out to my co-host. And this week, I figured I would throw the question, who is your favorite legend? You know, on the show, each week, we keep taking an updated or active roster member, and we're changing him around. But who's your personal all-time favorite wrestler? Who is the legend that really affected you or really got you into wrestling or you still love or you would love to see come back today? Whether they're dead or they're alive, fantasies allowed. But who is it that really made a personal impact on your life? First, I'll start with KZ.
I'm a little older than Andrew, so I got to go HBK, man. I liked him when I first saw him with the Rockers, man, and they were awesome. They were doing moves that I never seen before, because most of these guys at that point were just huge, you know, and then they just power slam guys, and that was more or less it. But they were flying around the ring. They were like one of the only teams that like acted as a, like almost like they mimicked each other. They worked, him and Marty Jannetty just worked so well with each other. And then one of the best things ever in wrestling, man, the fucking barbershop, man. He put Jannetty through that window. And became a great heel for a long time, created DX, was in countless amazing WrestleMania moments, the Iron Man match with Bret Hart. I mean, guy, you know, came in through the with the zip line. He won the Rumble, first guy to win the Rumble from the first spot. I mean, then he created that rule with the 1 foot touch the mat. I mean, the guy was in the first Hell in the Cell with the Undertaker. I mean, great. He hurt his back on that. He had a great match with the Undertaker at I think it was a Royal Rumble with the casket match. That was another great match. I mean, there's countless great matches. He ended Ric Flair's career. I mean, it was amazing.
Listen, yeah, I fully agree with you on the Rockers. To this date, they are probably still one of my favorite tag teams of all time. They're very underrated. Nobody talks about them, but I think they are really one of the best of all time.
Yeah, they never got the belts because it was the back in the day where it was Atlanta Giants, man. They were never going to beat Demolition and fucking LOD and guys like that because they weren't big enough.
Andrew, who's your favorite all-time legend?
I mean, obviously my all-time favorite is Eddie Guerrero that we talked about, but I was actually going to go with Shawn Michaels too before he said that. But
you,
I mean,
with him then.
I mean, I watched Shawn Michaels at a different point. I didn't watch him during like the Rockers and the whole like the whole like new era type of style. I watched him when he first came back and was going like head to head with like Triple H and stuff like that. But I mean, I still love Shawn Michaels. He still had like the amazing match with like Flair at WrestleMania and like the great story with Taker when he was like, when he said he was God and stuff like that. Like I watched him during a different era, but he still had the same kind of impact on how I watched wrestling and what I loved about wrestling.
I'm actually shocked he said that, because I figured he would have stuck with Eddie Guerrero. You always talk more about Eddie Guerrero.
Well, we talked about Eddie already during like the first question you asked on the show, or the first like one of these discussions, when it was our favorite wrestler of all time. So I figured I'd go with somebody else. And also, I was thinking about who I'd want to see return, stuff like that. And Shawn Michaels is probably who I want to see return the most right now.
Well, Eddie Guerrero
is alive.
See, for me, as previously mentioned, you know, because it is a difference between who's your favorite wrestler and who's your favorite legend. Like, my favorite wrestler is Rob Van Dam. Hopefully, one day I'm hoping he comes back, makes some type of comeback, and I hope we get to see him. For legend, I would have to say Jake the Snake Roberts.
He was great.
Say that again?
He was great. I loved him, man.
His in-ring psychology, to me, was about the true epitome of being a heel. And, you know, I was completely into the story And everything he said and everything he did was just powerful. You know, he wasn't a flashy guy. He wasn't one of these quick guys. He was very, you know, systematic. Every movement he made mattered. And you really see a lot of him in wrestlers that followed, especially wrestlers like Raven, you know, and all of these other wrestlers that Bray Wyatt. And you see all of this psychology that really stems from Jake the Snake Roberts. And I remember listening to him in an interview, and he said it one time. He's like, one thing that I always tell people that I did is when I spoke, I followed through. I never said I could beat somebody I wasn't going to beat, but if I said I was going to beat the hell out of them, I beat the hell out of them. And, you know, even breaking down sentences in his old promos, you could hear about it. And really, it blurred the line of kayfabe for me. You know, I really saw him as being a real wrestler. So for me, it's Jake the Snake Roberts.
Definitely.
This leads us now to our episode, Adam Cole.
Baby!
Baby!
So now, Adam Cole is our first indie wrestler we will be speaking about on Getting Over in Wrestling podcast. So a lot of the listeners tonight might not know Adam Cole, might have just seen him recently on the Wrestling Kingdom, New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestling Kingdom. So really, they're going to be looking towards you guys to speaking about the three qualities of Adam Cole, which we will go through in this podcast. Let's start off first, you know, initial thoughts of Adam Cole. I'm going to start with Katz first on this one. You know, Katz, you were just recently introduced to Adam Cole when we went to the ROH show in Brooklyn, New York at Field of Honor. What are your thoughts of Adam Cole since you've had a chance to finally see him live?
He's got like really good charisma. I like how he commands the ring. He's a good heel, man. I think he's good with the belt. I think it's gonna be hard for him to translate it in the WWE because it's Atlanta Giants. But you know, since AJ Styles is killing it, you know, there might be you know, he might go high and eventually when he gets to the WWE, you know. But I do like him though.
Andrew, your thoughts?
I mean, Adam Cole was like one of the first, when I first started watching the indies and stuff like that, he was the first guy I saw, and I got into like him and what he was doing, because I feel like he's not the typical like indie darling wrestler where he's like, I'm a straight up wrestler and that's what I do. Like, he has the charisma, he has the mic skills, he has the personality, he has the whole package. And I mean, I think he'll do fine every week, because right now it's really not the land of the Giants. I mean, you have like guys like Roman Reigns and Lesnar who are like main eventers, but you also have guys like Rollins and Ambrose and Miz and Styles who are on top.
Rollins is a big guy.
But, I mean, Adam Cole's not small. I mean, Rollins wouldn't have made it during the actual Land of the Giants era. He 100% would.
He's like Shawn Michaels' build.
Yeah, doesn't mean, and Shawn Michaels isn't a giant.
He's a multiple world champion, though. He's so talented.
I don't think that it's as heavy on these big dudes as you assume.
I've seen Adam Cole now in person, and I'm bigger than that guy. Like, you know, and I can only imagine how much bigger that the bigger wrestlers are compared to me. So like,
I don't think,
you know, I'm the same.
I don't think WWE is as heavy on we need the muscle as they were before.
So I'm going to ask you guys, you know, first you're talking about the look and the Land of Giants. Now, Adam Cole is billed at 5'11", 210 pounds. For the audience who's never seen Adam Cole, maybe they'll YouTube a match of his, maybe they'll see a picture. You know, I kind of agree with Katz, you know, pictures really doesn't do him justice. What is an Adam Cole? What is this baby? What is this character? Andrew, I throw that first question to you.
I mean, it's kind of just like a really cocky like asshole. It's pretty much what he does. I mean, if you see him, he gives off an aura of just like cockiness, where like he thinks like he's the best, and he knows he's the best, and he'll say he's the best, and he'll prove he's the best. And I don't really know where he got the Adam Cole baby from, but I mean, if you go to shows, every time he says it, the entire crowd says it with him. So it stuck, and it's great.
Now, Katz, I throw this question to you. You know, you had a different perspective of Adam Cole. So what is Adam Cole to you, especially in the height and the weight category? And I like the fact that you referenced him in WWE. You know, what is he to you?
To me, he'll be a great mid-carder, I think. I think he's got a lot of charisma, and he's got, you know, I think he carries himself well, and he's good in the ring. But I just don't – I can never see him in the main event. I just – he's too small. Like, you know, he's not like Rey Mysterio small where it could be like the, you know, oh, my God, he's such an underdog. He's just – he's kind of like – I don't know. I can't even explain it. You just – you know, you don't get that, like, heavyweight champion feel out of that guy.
I mean, I don't agree. But, I mean, I feel like if he has the talent and he could play off being a scrappy heel like he does, then, I mean, you could – I mean, I feel like now is the time where if he was going to make it in WWE, this is when he's going to do it.
You want to know why? Because it's like, all right, AJ Styles is not a big guy, but he's jacked up. You know, like he's still like he's still got, you know, big biceps, big glory muscles. This guy doesn't have that, man. He's got like a regular guy build.
Hey, I mean, I think that right now, if I think anybody at this point with how unpredictable WWE is and how much they're pushing different size guys and different looks. I feel like if he's going to make it, it's going to be right now.
Is he going to get stuck in the indie darling persona, you know, because he has made such a name for himself on the indies? I mean, he came from CZW. He's in ROH. He's been doing Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I mean, he is the indie guy that, you know, guys like the Young Bucks, Omega is. Can he make the transition? Andrew?
I mean, I think he'll do fine because, I like I said, I feel like he's not – he doesn't fit the exact mold of, like, the indie darling where, like, he's just a straight-up wrestler. Like, he has the charisma. He has the mic skills where he could push himself onto a casual WWE audience and be just fine with it.
Katz, how do you feel about his mic skills at ROH?
You know, he didn't say all that much, but I thought he was entertaining. He kept my attention the whole time. But that was in a crowd, in front of a crowd of like, you know, was it 2,500, 3,000 people, you know, now put him in front of a crowd of, you know, 18,000 every, you know, week, you know, it's different. Like look at Goldberg last night on Raw. He, how many times has he been in a gigantic crowd and he fucked up all over the place?
I mean, Goldberg's never had great mic skills, but
yeah, most of his shit is just like you're next, but
yeah, I mean, but like me and Dan know personally that Adam Cole has a personality that if he puts on to the crowd that it could work. I mean, like when we went to Field of Honor, me and Dan got there hours early.
I think we get there like 7 hours before doors open.
Yeah, like way too early, but And Adam Cole was walking in, and we were like, oh, can we get a picture and all that? And like it was a couple of guys around with just waiting for pictures and stuff like that. And he was saying, you know, I really can't. You know, I'm doing a sign today, so they don't really want me doing this. And he stopped real fast and goes, all right, real fast, too sweet, and took pictures of everybody. So it was funny. Like he showed that he has personality and like he can connect with people if you give him the chance to connect on a personal level.
Do you think he could survive without the Bullet Club? Katz, I'll throw that one out to you.
Absolutely not. Not now. He's got to build himself up more. I don't think that if he wasn't part of the Bullet Club, he wouldn't be as over as he is. He needs to build, like Kenny Omega is, he could be without the Bullet Club and still be Kenny Omega, you know? Adam Cole, he needs the Bullet Club right now to build himself up, to get like a long title run in New Japan, and he's a current ROH champion, if I'm not mistaken. He needs like a good long run. He needs to build himself up like and create himself before he could, you know, get away without being part of the Bullet Club.
I mean, I disagree. I think that Adam Cole will be just fine without a stable around him. He has done it before. He's had title runs without them. I mean, he's always had people around him to an extent. But I mean, even when he was with the Kingdom, it was him, and then there was Bennett and Taven, who were their own type of entity. And like when they came together, they were the Kingdom. So, I mean, I think he's shown that he can do it by himself. He just, like anybody else, benefits from a stable.
I just don't know what he would come into the WWE with unless he had that stable. You know, do you put him with the Bullet Club right now? I'm not trying to jump to any ideas of your WrestleMania moments yet, but do you have him come in as a singles, a tag team, or part of a stable? Andrew, I'll throw it back to you before Katz.
I mean, I think... obviously, a stable benefits people if they're coming in and they come in with a bang and they come in with a group attacking everybody. I feel like that benefits everybody because it automatically gets eyes directly to them. Because if he just comes in alone, people could take him or leave him. But if you come in and you're making an impact with a group of people, it's like the Nexus. There was no way to watch wrestling and not see the Nexus because they were the thing that was taking over.
Katz, your thoughts?
What was the question again?
If you were to bring him into WWE, do you make him a singles, a tag, or throw him into a stable?
You got to make him part of a group. I don't think he's known enough in, like, if you don't watch any indie wrestling, you just wouldn't know who he was. And he's a real big character, so, like, I don't know. I think anyone benefits from the stable. I would have to say stable. Unless you brought him into, like, a show like 205 Live or something like that, where he could, like, just come in there like every one of those other guys do and just own it.
We talked about his look. We talked about his charisma, especially microphone. He's part of Bullet Club. Being part of the Bullet Club really enhances a person's personality because you're around so many different personalities. But what about Adam Cole's wrestling style? You know, Katz, you've seen him live at this point. What stuck out about his wrestling? What did you think about it? Were you excited? Were you just like, meh?
Well, I guess I was unexcited because, like, I don't remember, like, anything, like, that he did in specific. Like, I remember his match being very entertaining, but it was like, almost like a free-for-all. It was, like, you know, a fatal four-way, so there was a bunch of shit going on. I haven't really watched many of his matches other than that. You know, I've seen, like, a couple of things on the internet, but, you know, I'm undecided as far as, you know, as that so far.
Okay, Andrew, talk to me about his wrestling.
I mean, some of my favorite ROH matches are him and Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly just because of how aggressive they can be with each other. I feel like he has, like, an in-ring psychology. And he messes with the crowd and stuff like that. And when he has the ability to be aggressive with a person like Kyle O'Reilly who can do it back to him, it benefits him a lot. I mean, I know there are spots in my head that come to mind where Kyle O'Reilly would be trying to have Adam Cole in, like, an armbar or something like that. And Adam Cole just standing up, just stomping on his head like it was nothing, and it was brutal, and it looked amazing. So I feel like he has the in-ring ability mixed with how he could, like, work with the crowd and stuff that would benefit him a lot on a big stage.
Okay, I mean, at this point, if you bring him in too, you bring him in NXT and maybe let him go, you know, hard style against Nakamura. Then,
I mean, he's worked with him before, I believe, and I mean, he's been in Japan now, so he knows how to work with. That style and stuff like that. I don't know if I think I'd rather want to see him on the main roster and stuff, but I feel like him and Nakamura could have a killer match, and they could really they could play with each other. Both of them are so good in the ring and both so charismatic that it would be a masterpiece.
Katz, by what you said before, you know, where you think he might come in as a no-name, if he was to go into NXT, how long would you keep him down there before you moved him up?
He would have to be down there for a little bit. Like, I would do what they did with Nakamura. Maybe, like, have him as a big free agent and or like Bobby Roode, you know, come in, get, like, a decent guy to have a first, you know, first beef with, and then, you know, have maybe another good beef and then have him go for the title, maybe have the title for, like, several months and then start talking about maybe bringing him up, because I don't think he's well known enough.
Okay. And this is part of the episode where we are going to go to the road to WrestleMania.
Road to WrestleMania.
Welcome to the Road to WrestleMania. This is the part of the episode where I challenge Brian KZ Katz and Andrew the Ultimate Mark Gulick to give Adam Cole his highest WrestleMania moment. This week, we will start with KZ Katz. So, Katz, bring Adam Cole to WrestleMania.
All right, well, I might as well just start with this weekend then. Let's go. The NXT event is, I believe, Saturday night, or is it Friday night?
Saturday, I believe.
All right, so Saturday night, the Nakamura match, him, Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode, let's say he wins. Then what's his face comes out? Adam Cole and the whole Bullet Club, Kenny Omega, everybody. They beat up on Nakamura because, you know, it's the whole Japan thing, the Bullet Club and everything. They give all the the two sweet signs out. And basically, like, I want him to be in NXT you know, I want him to start a beef with Bobby Roode. I guess Bobby right off the bat. And, you know, for the belt, because I think Bobby Roode's ready to come up too. And maybe at WrestleMania, I wouldn't have him at WrestleMania. I would have him at the NXT event at WrestleMania. and I'd have him fight Bobby Roode for the NXT title and beat Bobby Roode so Bobby Roode can come up that next Monday or Tuesday night.
Now, I have to question, in the beginning, you're bringing the whole Bullet Club during his premiere?
Yeah, you know what? Let me redo that because I would want Kenny Omega to maybe come out for the Rumble. So maybe just him. He comes in and beats up Nakamura, gives the Bullet Club signs. You know, so it acknowledges that he's going to be maybe part of the Bullet Club.
And maybe, you know, during the course of the year leading up to WrestleMania, you have like the Club or AJ Styles, you know, make comments or drop names like Adam Cole or say Bebe, you know, so they could build up his reputation in NXT.
Yeah, I would, you know what, that's yeah, I would definitely maybe have some acknowledgement of the Club, like, you know, Gallows and Anderson and what was his face? AJ Styles. And then I want Kenny Omega to come in too. To all be like, you know, yeah, dude, this is our dude owning it in NXT, man. He's Bullet Club, you know, for life.
So I find it interesting that you gave Adam Cole his first, you know, year into WWE. You went the NXT route. I'm kind of impressed. Andrew, your thoughts?
I mean, I guess now we made the rule that if you go NXT, that's our WrestleMania. So, I mean, we made new rules for the podcast. I mean, I like it. I think it's good. He comes in, he makes a statement with his stable, and he makes people look at him. Like, he says, like, he doesn't come in and have, like, a normal, like, jobber match at his first show. Like, no, he comes in and he's beating ass the second he comes in.
He's at WrestleMania weekend. And, I mean, he could even, you know what, make him even come out at WrestleMania with AJ Styles with the Club. Like, you know, it's part of the, it's part of the entourage with the belt.
I kind of like the fact that you kept him at NXT. I kind of like the fact that, you know, he's coming in. This is a realistic storyline, and this is a way to build him. I don't think there is a reason for him to premiere at WrestleMania. Andrew, it's time for you to bring Adam Cole to WrestleMania.
All right, well, obviously I'm going the fantasy booking route because there's no other way to go about this. This is going to be like the next year's WrestleMania, not this coming like the New Orleans WrestleMania because it takes a little bit of build for it. So I pretty much have Finn's back from injury. He reunites with Gallows and Anderson. They're healing it up on Raw. You know, they're too sweet and pretty much doing what they did in Japan, just being dicks when they come down to the ring and fucking with people, doing all that. So it would be the Royal Rumble happens next year. Someone from SmackDown wins. So the Royal Rumble doesn't affect Raw. Nothing happens. Finn is a champion at this point. Gallows and Anderson are tag team champ, and they're running Raw pretty much. Besides like the mid card, but I mean that could do their own thing, and it doesn't matter. Finn comes out after Royal Rumble, the night after Royal Rumble, and he's saying like, "Oh, I have no opponent. I'm good. I'm having a freebie at WrestleMania. Me and my boys, we're gonna party. We're this is gonna be too sweet. It's gonna be a great weekend." And the lights go out. And in the ring is Adam Cole and the Young Bucks facing off with Gallows, Anderson, and Finn. And they all throw two sweets up. And then Adam Cole and the Young Bucks take the two sweet down and put the finger guns up to them. And they just start beating ass. And it just becomes a war. It becomes pretty much like old Bullet Club versus new Bullet Club, which they're not going to say Bullet Club, but everyone's going to know what it is. This way you get... You can get the history of Adam Cole and his history with the Young Bucks and all that stuff. And then you could also include Finn's history with Gallows and Anderson and stuff like that. And they're how they're connected in New Japan and stuff like that. And at WrestleMania, you could have, you could either do, for the title, obviously, or you could do like a kind of like a mixed, like a six-man tag kind of battle where it's like whichever team takes all, like a winner-takes-all type thing. So say like Adam Cole and Young Bucks win, all titles change to that side. And if Gallows, Anderson, and Finn win, they all stay on that side. So it's like high stakes, it's a lot of tension. I mean, you get the Young Bucks and Adam Cole in the WWE, which I feel like the indie fans who take the time and the money and the... And like the time out of their schedule to travel to WrestleMania would be ecstatic for.
Katz, your thoughts?
Well, one, I think everyone would be more excited about the Young Bucks than Adam Cole if they like came up with like that. And two, I kind of don't want to see the Bullet Club fight with each other with like the old and the new. I'd rather just see them all give up the two sweets and be like, "Yeah, man, we're fucking like a pack of wolves, bro. Like, I'm thirsting for that right now. With I thought the coolest Gallows and Anderson ever were in the WWE so far was when they had AJ Styles to be their guy. You know, like they felt like a crew. Now they're just a shitty tag team.
I mean, I don't think they're being shitty right now. But that's besides the point. I feel like if you just made everybody too sweet each other, it would have the NWO effect where everyone's just in Bull Club and it's all ridiculous and there's no tension. I feel like it's cool to have like these two groups which you know are connected and have had connections in the past, and now they're finally going to battle with each other.
But unlike the NWO, I think that they all have a common bond where all these guys are indie guys. You know, it's Finn Balor, it's the Gallows and Anderson, it's AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, the you know, pretty much all those guys. Adam Cole, I should say too. All those guys are indie guys, and that like they could have a legitimate beef. I think it'd be cool if like you know they all started beating up all like the WWE guys, you know, like all that's their beef, you know, like they go against like obviously like a John Cena or I guess like a Big Show or a Taker, just guys have been there forever, you know, like fuck those guys.
I mean, I feel like that'd be cool, but I mean, after they beat them, what happens? Then they beat the WWE guys, and there's just the Bullet Club faction running wild, and there's nothing to.
It'll only get watered down if they keep adding guys that don't belong into like the NWO. The NWO was fucking awesome when it was, you know, Nash, Hall, and Hogan, and then like even it was still cool with it was like Big Show and Six Pack, I should say. But it started getting lame when they pulled up with like 15 limos of guys who are like, why are you in the NWO?
So thanks, guys, because you pretty much just discussed my whole WrestleMania moment for Adam Cole there. And now I'm not going to switch it up, but this is how I was visualizing it, even though you guys just talked about it. Royal Rumble, Adam Cole makes an appearance. You have Kenny Omega. AJ Styles is in the ring. They throw AJ out. AJ's champion at that time. They talk to Gallows and Anderson. They form the Bullet Club. Their first target is AJ Styles. And you have them going a bit against AJ Styles. You have them interfering in his matches. You have them quote-unquote messing him up. And you really have a build-up now to a one-on-one, I want to say. It's going to be Gallows and Anderson for the tag team titles at WrestleMania. Adam Cole would go for IC, we'll say, against The Miz. And then you have Kenny Omega versus AJ Styles. So the club wins the tag team titles. They come in. They help Adam Cole win the IC belt. And then all three of them walk down for the main event. And the match is about to start. And Kenny Omega lays down, AJ Styles pins him, they're jumping up and down, pull the old school NWO, and then they go on a typical NWO tear. Now, the reason why this doesn't get boring is because you start getting factions that are going to start crossing brands, like the New Day is going to come in and try to stop them, you're going to have the Wyatts that's going to try to stop them, you're going to have different stables that are going to try to stop them, but this storyline could run a year. For his highest WrestleMania moment, I picture a good 4-star match against The Miz. I see midway through WrestleMania.
So who's going to be the good guy in that? Like, this is going to be heel versus heel?
Heel versus heel. They're going to build it up like AJ was part of the Bullet Club, and he left, and he's, you know, we kicked him out, and he's going to be like, no, I left on my own accord. They're building it up like, you know, AJ's going to be the babyface in this, when it's just a ploy for the club to get all the titles.
All right.
So is the Bullet Club, is it like SmackDown Bullet Club and Raw Bullet Club, or is it just Bullet Club, and they go on both shows and do whatever they want?
I think they're going to go on both shows. That's why it doesn't get stale. You're able for them to, for 3 months, jump against New Day, 3 months, jump against Wyatt family. You know, you could build a stable out of nowhere and have them jump on that show and start beating them up.
Do you think that kind of ruined the brand split a bit?
I don't, because I think you could go into Survivor Series with John Cena being the hero that leads the other team to start breaking down the Bullet Club at that point. You can really lead from WrestleMania, not even that Survivor Series, maybe the year after, where it would be like the club versus John Cena's, you know, save the WWE brand.
I mean, I still think if we're going for a Survivor Series, it'd be better to do like a Raw Bullet Club, a SmackDown Bullet Club, and then even like if you're doing it that way, they don't have to be enemies really. They could do like say the Raw Bullet Club is getting messed up by like the New Day and whoever. You could have like a guy or two from the SmackDown Bullet Club come out in like civilian clothes, hop the barricade, and like come and help out his boys. You know, you have like the Lesnar Orton effect where it was like holy, oh my god, they're here. Like oh no, he's not supposed to be here, and like they could throw a fit, and like if it's on Raw, like Stephanie and Mick could be like, guys, you can't do this, and you have like the Raw guys are just like laugh at him, like we do what we want because we're too sweet, and just like walk away, stuff like that.
And I think you could do that for years. I think you could do that for at least 2 years. And then John Cena, being John Cena, will lead the crusade under the Stephanie McMahon. Maybe by then you bring back Triple H. And he runs, you know, and saves WWE from the horror that is the Bullet Club.
Do you think people will be on board for John Cena doing that? I mean, I would. Like, I think it'd be fine to have, like a Cena, Roman, Sheamus, and like whatever, who else you want to put on there? It's like WWE guys, like New Day or something like that, since they're a tag team. Like do something like
what I really want is the setup, the build up to John Cena turning and joining the Bullet Club at that point, like Hulk Hogan did, and stomped on all of his fans' faces, and you know broke the old the Hollywood Hogan, and, you know, imagine John Cena had the ability to go to club at this point and actually become a heel. Cat's thoughts?
He would get booed. The Bullet Club would get booed.
But the Bullet Club could run another year now. Now I'm running a 3-year storyline.
I think that the crowd would like it if you went bad, but not at the expense of that, because the Bullet Club is like an indie thing, and he's just not an indie guy. He's never been an indie guy. I think they'll turn on the Bullet Club for that.
I think that's why the crowd would attach themselves more to the Bullet Club, because now one of their own is an official Bullet Club.
Yeah, but he's so not that guy. You know, like he's just, if he went bad, it would have to, like, I think he'd be better off just attacking a babyface like himself rather than joining this like indie, you know, he'd be better off attacking Roman Reigns. He might actually get, you know, that would get him so over. If he fucked up Roman Reigns, I think that would be better than to just join the Bullet Club and like becoming a bad guy.
I'm just saying, nobody would see it coming.
I mean, if you want to make Bullet Club a heel faction, I think it'd be cool to have Cena join. Then they're like, they could address the issues that Katz is bringing online. They could say like, you think this was an indie thing? No, this is a worldwide thing. The club is worldwide. Like, we're taking over every place we go. We took over Ring of Honor. We took over New Japan. We took over PWG. And now we're taking over WWE.
If they did, I'd want to see then John Cena. They would have to, whoever the leader of the Bullet Club was, say it's Kenny Omega, AJ Styles, or Finn Balor or whatever, he would have to turn on that guy. That guy would have to turn face. And that guy would have to, like, propel himself into that Cena slot. Because I wouldn't want no one to change for out of the Bullet Club, you know, and to become a good guy, if Cena's just joining and he's just joining the Bullet Club, it's because you need to do it and make someone out of that.
And after year three, Adam Cole could be the leader of this Bullet Club, giving him his highest WrestleMania moment. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the end of Getting Over in Wrestling Podcast. Katz, your final thoughts?
I need to see more of Adam Cole. I'm not totally sold on him. I think that he definitely needs to go through NXT. He's not a guy that can jump straight to the roster like AJ Styles did. Like Shinsuke Nakamura spent a whole year down there pretty much, and I think he's more talented than Michael Cole. Language aside,
Adam Cole.
Michael Cole too.
Bebe.
Honestly, he'd be a better announcer than Michael Cole. Shinsuke. But yeah, I think Adam Cole has definitely talent. He needs to put on some weight, the mic skills are there, and the wrestling skills are there. He just needs to build his name up more.
Andrew, final thoughts?
I love Adam Cole. His feud with Kyle O'Reilly is one of my favorite things that ROH has done in probably forever. And I'm excited to see him go against Bobby Fish when we go to Manhattan Mayhem.
Best mustache in the biz.
Definitely. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to Getting Over in Wrestling Podcast. Before I go and continue, my final thoughts on Adam Cole. You know what? When I first saw Adam Cole, especially live, I didn't know what to think about it, but I was entertained. I had a great time. I'm hooked. I think he's got a good future. I think it's all going to matter with the character or the persona that he comes into the WWE with. I agree with Katz. I agree with Andrew that he needs to change certain things and keep some things the same. But I think he does have a good chance at becoming a good headliner. He can reach the levels of Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to rewrite Adam Cole's storyline, feel free to email us at gettingoverinwrestling@gmail.com. If you want to talk to us, tweet us at GOW Podcast. Our boy KZ runs our Twitter account. If you want to talk wrestling 24 hours, 7 days a week, join Andrew's Facebook page, Reach for the Ropes Wrestling. If you want to listen to another awesome, amazing podcast, it has nothing to do with wrestling, but it is funny as hell, check out KZ's Paint It Black podcast. If you want, also check out the other amazing podcast on Potter and Family. You can find them all on the Twitter account, hashtag Potter and Family. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much and have a great night.